As we turn to Romans chapter 8, it is really my intention just to focus on one verse, and that is verse 18. Paul writes, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Modern translations, I have the ESV in front of me, do not say, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared, but they say that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that shall be in us. It's just the opposite of what he said. Paul says, the things that we go through are not worthy of comparison with the others, but that we should do so. Whereas the ESV and some other modern translations say, it's not worth doing the comparison. We know what they mean. They mean that the comparison is so enormous, but the effect it gives is that we aren't to compare. So in this matter of suffering, I want to begin with two of those verses from Hebrew 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12, verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against it. Now, what's being said there? That the Lord Jesus did compare his sufferings with the glory that should be revealed. It was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. In other words, there was this comparison in his mind that the death upon a cross in which he despised as shame bore no comparison, but he did compare it. It made him think, it made him endure, but bore no comparison with the joy that was set before him. Now, keep that in mind when in a few moments we turn to Romans 8, verse 18. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. It is the key to endurance. It is the key to suffering that we look to the joys that are with Christ in glory. There are two things that really can be watchwords here. The joy that was set before him. Joy in suffering, acute suffering. Joy in pain. And that joy, of course, was that his people would all be saved. That we should be there in glory with him. But remember the joy that was set before him. Look unto him. Consider him. And then at the end of verse 3, the other watchword, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Jesus' suffering on the day of Calvary was not drawn out, but was acute. But he suffered much during the 3 years that led up to that time. When we suffer, it does take away our mental faculties, sometimes our endurance faculties, and it is very easy to be wearied. And it is very easy to become faint in our minds, which means that we want to give up, that it's too much, that we're not going to go through with this. And if we're suicidal, to bring a swift end to it. So bear those things in mind as we now come to Romans chapter 8. Now the verses that lead up to it speak of the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. Now, if we're in the middle of affliction, it would be very easy to think we were deserted. It would be very easy to think no one cares for our soul. It would be very easy to think we're on our own and virtually are abandoned. And that even fellow Christians couldn't enter into the experience that we are going through. We need to be reminded, as we go through sufferings, that we are the children of God. And therefore, as Hebrews 12 continued, and we didn't mention, even if we're being chastened, it's so that the Father might make us more like him. But we're not dealing with the chastening aspect today. And if we are the children of God, then we are heirs, heirs of God. And that's another wonderful thing to think about. When things are low, when pain takes away from us our strength, even our mental capacities, we can't concentrate much, we are still heirs of God. All that God has is ours in Christ. And we're joint heirs with Christ. It's in Christ. For what Christ has done and achieved, and who belongs in heaven, that it's in Christ that we all come to God and to heaven. And then he says, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, the meaning isn't only here, that we suffer in his service. The Lord's own suffering was unique. No one else has ever suffered to bear the sins of so many in his own body, which he did, of course, on Calvary. And there is a sense in which we may suffer with him if we are Christians enduring persecution, and enduring all the different manner in which unbelievers oppress Christians viciously in this day. Remember that Jesus despised the shame. Should it be that people laugh at us, mock us, tell us we're stupid, tell us it's untrue, tell us it's unreal. However, we suffer with Christ, also in a mere bodily way. You can't imagine that the scripture meant that Christ's suffering was unique, and that provided we suffer for his work, we shall be united with him. But all suffering, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Jesus came for sin, for trouble, to put an end to it, and therefore took upon himself human flesh. And though he was without sin, you must reason within your minds that being without sins, he was extra sensitive to the things that are sinful, extra aware, we're to a degree hardened in those things. So we suffer with him in the way we approach our bodily afflictions, in the way that we approach whatever affliction comes before us. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon, the word can mean, it's the general word for I think in Greek. It's the general word for I calculate. And when used of thinking, of course, it's we calculate things in our minds. And so it is Paul's own persuasion by the Spirit that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Well, do you want the good first or the bad? Let's go for the good first. The glory which shall be revealed in us. The Lord Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, that was uppermost in his mind, endured the cross, despising the shame. And so the glory which shall be revealed in us is absolutely crucial to our endurance of suffering. Well, what shall we think of? That we will be glorified together with Christ. That is to say, there'll be a massive change in our body. Unless we're here when the Lord returns, it will be, our souls will be taken to be with him. But in terms of our body, it will be changed. It will not be liable to sin. It will not be liable to decay. It will be made perfect. All its capacities of reasoning and making friends and all that sort of things of relationships will be honed and perfected. And that is something really to be looked forward to. Not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So a change that will change us into perfection, that will make us to have a body such as Christ's body, our own body being renewed in that likeness. And then the glory which shall be revealed in us, you may think of as the sheer eternity. When we suffer, it seems an awful long time. 24 hours? 60 minutes? If it's chronic, days or the end, it seems an awful, awful long time. And to an extent, that's what gets us down. But the glory says that the sheer extent of eternity, the sheer quality of eternity, is it's more than worthwhile enduring what we go through to enter into such a pain-free eternity, to such a stress-free eternity, to such a fulfilling eternity, however you want to look at it. And so it is, that we may therefore consider and understand the glory that shall be revealed in us. We shall be with the Saviour. We shall see the Saviour, even if our bodies aren't yet resurrected. We shall go to be immediately in his presence. That's a glorious change. Our bodies will be a glorious change, but we shall see the Saviour. And not as the disciples saw him on earth, but as he is changed in the eternal glory. We mustn't give up because of pain, or because of sorrow, or because of affliction, or because of persecution, but rather the glory which shall be revealed in us must be preeminent in our minds. The glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, what sufferings of this present time will give us, what shall we suffer with great help for considering the glory? When you consider that the Lord Jesus, thinking of the joy that shall be revealed in him, endured. And as the passage goes on to say, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, fighting against sin. In other words, we haven't endured like he's endured. Christ, in his own way, for the particularly unique calling he had, endured. And we, in our own way, by the help of the same Spirit, are likewise to endure. So we must think of the glory. When we are in pain, it is, as I said, acute, and it seems to go on forever. And it may spread pain in other parts of our body. There may be mental pain. And mental pain, I understand, can be physically very acute also. But what will enable us to endure? What will encourage us to think that one day it will all be over? What will encourage us to think it will get so much better, and even this terrible pain is worth it? We suffer with Christ in that sense, and we shall have Christ's reward, and we shall be with him, and we shall be changed. And in the glory there will be surprises. I have not seen nor the ear heard the things that God hath prepared for those who love him. These are the sort of things that while we are enduring enable us to fix our minds on things above, but more than on just things, on the glorious nature of those things. Maybe it's the act of dying, the sufferings of this present time that are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Those days, moments, when our bodies clearly are disintegrating and we know it, and we perhaps are suffering because of it. Maybe we have palliative care. But the sufferings that lead to death itself, the dissolution of our body, the removal of the sorrow from the body, these can be endured as we look at the glory which shall be revealed in us. You all enjoyed singing last Lord's Day. We're a day's march nearer home. And when we're going through the dissolution, that means that we are actually dying, and we know we are dying. We think of the glory that shall be revealed. It's getting closer than it's ever been. It's carried us through other lesser difficulties. But now we may think of the Saviour. Now we may think of voices that have not been able to sing or sing in tune for years, singing the praise of the glory of Christ. Now we may think of being along with all the angels and all the saints that have gone before in praising that Saviour. Now we may think that the Saviour has gone before us to prepare a place for us, for there are many mansions in heaven. Suffering enables us to compare the weakness, the limitations, with the glory that shall be revealed, and enables us to win the victory. There are other forms of suffering. in the days in which we live, when a large lot of people don't work, and those who do are under great stress because they're doing two or three people's work, stress is a major factor that causes suffering. It may cause suffering in all sorts of ways. It may cause suffering because you're always playing catch up. You never manage to get to the end of things. So it may cause stress because you feel you can't do the things properly that you really should do. It may cause stress because you think you're too weary at the end of everything to concentrate on things at home. Whatever be the means that it affects you, stress, the suffering of stress. Now, the suffering of stress is very continual, and it is very debilitating. But Christ, he himself, for the joy that was set before him, endured. And while we're going through these things, we may consider, meditate on, cry out to the Lord, praise the Lord for the joys that shall be revealed in us. Weariness, perhaps, is one of the great things that stress causes. And Paul mentioned in particular, do you remember in Hebrews chapter 12, lest we be wearied and faint in your minds. I think they're two separate things. I don't think he means lest ye be wearied, and lest ye be wearied in your minds and faint in your minds. I think he means lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That is to say, the effect of this weariness makes us give up, makes us lose our close fellowship with the Saviour, makes us feel that it's not worth it. But when the Saviour moves in our hearts and we consider him who has endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, when he reveals himself, then our hearts are energized. Then it is that we may not think so much of things that bring stress, or even of the Lord's stress that he undergoed, but we may must consider the joy that lies before us. The stress will be over. I don't know whether it's fair to say that the Lord gives us these things in order that we may the better appreciate glory. I don't know if that's the case, because we may not remember the things that are here on earth. I don't know. But it is true that all the things that we go through do make us long for heaven. Do make us long to see Christ. Do long to make us be, not in another place as such, but in that place, the heavenly place, that won't be running away. That will be to what we're tending. And it will be a lovely thing. And there may be other things that cause us suffering. It may be that there are others who are constantly afflicting us, others who are constantly at odds with us, others who are constantly disputing with us, others who ruin our lives and make it so that we can't have peace in our heart or quietness or anything like that. Now, the Lord taught us not to avenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But the way out is to think of that glory that shall be revealed. To pray for the ones who afflict us, of course, that helps. But that we think of the glory. We think of the people that shall be changed like we are changed, being there in glory. And that we will be united in the one great theme of rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. they fade in comparison is what he's meant. And I think that's what the English Standard Version means to say, but they just say it's not worth comparing. Everything is done here by comparing. We may come through with the aid of the Spirit by comparing our weakness with our strength that is to come, by the limitation of our mind with the free expanse of our mind that is to come. However, we're enduring with the contrary, complementary thing to that, in glory we shall see Christ, we shall worship him without hindrance and without let. All these things, however each individual feels it, the time to feel it is when we're going through these things. We may know it in theory, and afterwards when we've made a mess of it, we may think, well, we know what we ought to have done. But if we can, through the Spirit, be given the grace to endure, and to endure by thinking of the glory which shall be revealed in us, then we shall triumph in the Lord. We shall overcome. We shall not go under. We shall not be defeatist. I know old people look back, I feel it more than anybody, I suppose, now, being the oldest among you. But this keeps us looking forward. This keeps us looking onward. This keeps us looking upward. This brings us through the sadnesses, the difficulties, the problems, the issues of life, so that we may endure them and overcome them by looking to the glory that shall be revealed in us. I only wanted to do that verse. It's necessarily shorter than the others, but I thought that at this time, before we continue in Romans 8, that we might just meditate on these things. Again, remembering, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider him that endured, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds, not having gone through anything like the extent that Christ has gone through. I pray that will be a help to many of us, provided so that I may do a longer passage next time. But there are two or three verses in this chapter, and I just want us to linger on a little bit.